Okay, oh, okay. We're ready. All right. So the story continues. Also, Rav Nosson Bar Tuvi. So Rav Nosson Bar Tuvi happened to come out of the base medrash, probably. I mean, also normally means he came to it, but at any rate, as he got there, so Rav Zeira, you know, stood up, of course, in his presence, and Omale, and he said unto him, Manoma Halocha Be Midrasha. He says, tell me, who stated a halocha in the base medrash? Now, according to Rashi doesn't quite understand it the same way. If we take a look at Rashi, all right, let's take a look over there for a moment, okay? It says, okay, Man Oma Halacha Be Midrash. It says, Mi Mi B'nei HaYeshiva Oma B'Veis HaMedrash HaHalacha K'Rav Yehuda. According to Rashi, what he asked him specifically was, tell me, which of the Talmidei Chachomim in the base medrash said that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda? Yes. Namely, that, you know, if it's a question between Musaf and Mincha, that first you have to daven Musaf and then afterwards you daven Mincha. So who said that the halacha would follow him? So Omalei, so Rav Nosson answered him, and he said, Hochi Omar Rav Yochanan. So as a matter of fact, you know what Rabbi Yochanan said? He said, Ein halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda. Matter of fact, he says halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda, but instead Rabbi Yochanan got up and he said that halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yehuda. So Omalei, Rabbi Yochanan Amora. So he said to him, tell me, did Rabbi Yochanan say this? Omalei, in. So he said to him, yes. Tono mine arboin zimni. So he repeated the same question to him 40 times. In other words, he kept saying to him, tell me, is it really so? Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that halacha is wrong? Is it really true that Rabbi Yochanan said that? Please tell me. Well, maybe he wanted more reward each time that he would receive the word, whatever it was. But anyway, we would say that he was pestering him. But it so happens, you know, that many people say, you know, that he simply wanted a greater reward, and so he kept asking him the same question. Okay? So at any rate, whichever way you interpret it, okay? He continued and he said to him, yeah, so he says, Tonim in Eyar Boim, and he said, Omalei. So he said to him, Chado Hiloch, Echados Hiloch. Okay, Chado means one. Is it only one opinion? Or is it something which is new? In other words, what he's trying to ask him, now let's take a look at the Rashi again. See where it says, Chado Hiloch, or Echados Hiloch? Yeah. He says, Achas Hiloch. Okay. You see it over there? Chada Hiloch, Echados Hiloch. All right. We'll see how Rashi understands this, okay? He says, Achas Hilocho, Shelo Lamarato Dovar Mishmor Sharabi Yochanan, Elezubilbad. He says, is this, in other words, the only thing that you learn in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Lacha Chabiva Hiloch, and that's the reason why this statement is so beloved by you, because in other words, it was a rare opinion to hear Rabbi Yochanan express himself, and therefore what he had to say is such an outstanding statement, you know, that you love this particular thing. Or he says, O Chados, Chados means new, O Chados, Shohilah, or is this something new that you heard? Sheho Yisus Abur, Sheechot Minu Akhira Mamalot. Maybe you thought that it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, but it was somebody else who stated that this was, you know, the fact, namely that the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda in this respect. So, what was his answer?
Come away.
No, I've got to get back to it. Oh, okay. So, Amalei, So he answered, and this is of course Rabbi Nosson, you know, who's reporting, and says, Amalei Chados Hili. He says, you know, as a matter of fact, this is something new to me. Now, by new, you have to understand, the Hebrew word that would correspond to this would be the word Kiddush.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Something new, I mean, something that I hadn't thought of before or something like that, you know, a Kiddush, okay? So he says, Chados Hili. As a matter of fact, he says, this is really a new idea for me. Mishum de Mesapkali, because I was in doubt the Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, whether Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was right in quoting, you know, that he said, if you'll take a look before, he said that what do you have to do? You have to daven first Mincha and then
Musaf.
He says, I myself was in doubt as to whether this should really be the din or not, whether the halacha should follow that statement or not. But if Rabbi Yochanan came and he said that this is what the halacha, so now I know that this is halacha. Well, again, of course, I repeat that even though technically it is the halacha, but nevertheless, we don't necessarily follow it. Okay? Mm-hmm. And this is, we'll see in a moment, we'll take a look at the Tosfos right now, where it says, halacha mispalel shel mincha. The Achakach is followed shall be. You see that? Right, it's the second one. Second Tosfos on the left over there. Alright, so this is the question. So he says, Mekan, says Tosfos, from this we see, Yesh li zoher b'yom ha-kippurim, we should be careful on Yom Kippur, lehis palel tfilah shachris kodem sheishor semester, that we should finish davening shachris before 6.5 hours, in other words, before 12:30, the Hainu Kodim Shiagir Shasa Mincha, in other words, before it is time, excuse me, Sheshos, yeah, Sheshos, no, yeah, 12:30, right, as we said, because Sheva Shos is 1 o'clock, okay, alright, before 12:30, you should finish davening shachris. Yeah, the Hainu Kodem Shegir Shasa Mincha, in other words, prior to the time when the time to daven Mincha arrives, the in Lemar Kane, because if we don't say this, then Hoyotzich Nispalel Tfilas Mincha Kodem, then they should have daven Mincha before they got around to davening Musa, right? The Hori Omer, but the Ri says, the Einet Tzorech. No, we don't have to. Why? The Hodekomashi Yispalel Tfilas Mincha Kodem. When do we say that you should daven the mincha before you daven musaf, right? It's hainu kishiyesh le'laseh sirocha. That applies only when a person is under pressure, shele yuchal hispalel tefilas ha-mincha bizmana. Person is under pressure that he may not be able to daven mincha in its proper time. So then, says Taisviz, then we should daven mincha first, because this is the rule of todav shene todav, and then you can daven, you know, musaf afterwards. But the point is, if you know you're not going to have time to daven mincha later on, then don't wait, daven mincha immediately, okay? V'tzorech lehispalel shneihem miyad, and therefore you have to daven both of them, meaning of course mincha and musaf, immediately. Kegon, and he gives some example. Let's say you've been invited to a big party, a big feast, kemod in the suiness, for example, a wedding feast. Umisyore, and he's afraid, shema yimshech v'sudose, you know, that the meal is going to take too long. Oh, she yishtak here, or maybe he'll drink a little too much and he'll become a shikar. Right. Right. Avol im hoyelo shehus v'hispalel achat v'las busas v'las haminko v'zmano. But he says, if you have plenty of time to daven after you finish davening musaf to daven mincha, and it's still in its proper time, then ein lo lahakdim tfilas hamincha, then he should not first daven mincha, elo yispalel keseder musaf, but rather you should daven in the right order, namely daven musaf, v'yachakach mincha, and then after that you daven mincha. So as we see, according to Tosfos, it's not, even though Rabbi Yochanan and everybody agreed, all Chachamim agreed, that, you know, you should daven first Mincha and then Musaf, But Tosfos restricts it to one case, namely if you know that you're not going to have time later on to daven mincha, okay, but if you have plenty of time to daven mincha after you've davened musaf, then in that case first daven musaf and that's it.
What would be better off if you know you haven't had time to daven musaf and proper time to say, certainly the proper time not to daven musaf, why not let musaf go and do that in the matter and say musaf proper time?
There is no
hold it. I missed.
You're saying to say that if there's a question of not being able to say mincha later on, and you also have to say mincha, you can say mincha first and then mincha right after that.
Right, that's a private individual. Right, correct.
However, but this is time not for mincha necessarily, but it's definitely time for mincha. Why not stop mincha and let mincha go on if you can't get it? Get it from Ira.
I don't understand what you mean by the last statement. What do you mean? Let mincha go by, but you shouldn't deliberately let a tefillah go by. You see, that's the whole point. This is what we learned before. Remember before, we were talking about makeups. But when is the makeup? The makeup is, you know, let's say, tall below this pala. You made a mistake, and you didn't. I mean, you thought that you had enough time, and so on. You had every intention to daven, but you weren't able to do it. But deliberately, to postpone it and not do it and so on, it's already something else. I mean, this we applied, you know, Me'uvus lo yuchal yitzkon, you know, that you did something crooked and you can't make it straight. That's if, you know, you should have and you didn't. But, you know, if for whatever reason, either you forgot or you were pressured or you didn't feel good or whatever it may have, you know, you weren't able, then you could have a makeup. But, you know, you don't start out with the intention of waiting to daven mincha after Maariv. Okay?
Now we get back to this particular
I
don't see why Tosfos could be right. If you have time, you could time out to daven mincha, and if you got time to daven mincha later, although you may not be able to do it later, and you're going to make up mincha for after you daven mincha, why not do it the proper way? Do mincha first and then do it anyway.
Okay. What Tosfos is saying is as follows. First of all, Tosfos obviously is basing it upon the opinion of whom? Upon Rabbi Yehuda, who said what? That musaf should be by 1 o'clock, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, even though the Chachomim said that you could, you know, daven musaf all day if you never got around to it, but nevertheless, what was the very first words that we had right after the review of the Mishnah here? It said, the Nikro Pesheya. In other words, if you didn't do it, you know, within the earlier time frame, then you're a sinner because you postpone without any reason. And of course, the result may be, you know, that even though you do daven musaf eventually, but nevertheless, it was wrong to postpone it for so long. Okay? All right. So, this conflict, if we accept, you know, that... you know, if we accept then the idea that you should daven musaf not later than 1 o'clock, then as we pointed out, the only time frame in which there would be a conflict would be, let's say, between 12:30, which is the earliest time that you could daven mincha, and 1 o'clock, which would be the latest time, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you could daven musaf. So in that particular time, the situation would arise. But, according to Tosfos, what if you have all day and you know that you will have the opportunity to daven mincha later in the day? Then in that case, it says, daven keseder. In other words, first say musaf, and then say mincha. But, if you are pressured, says Tosfos, and you know that because you'll be involved in a wedding festivity or whatever it may be, and you won't have time to daven mincha later in the day, and you have just this time frame, then what should you do? Then in that case, you go first off in a mincha, and then you say musaf. So that's essentially what they say. Mm-hmm. And what
even
they say
with... Even though they believe that you should have musaf done within the because the time passes, even though they believe it.
This was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Right. Yeah. This is why he said.
They also believe it.
Yeah, right. I mean, they're supporting him morally, even if from a point of view of the din, they would say that you could daven musaf all day, but nevertheless, they don't want you to postpone it either, you see. They'd rather that you follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in this respect. Of course, I mean, the same thing might be applied, except that they didn't use the expression of Nikra Pesheya for what they said earlier. we learned what? Tfilas HaShachar Ad Chatzos, right? Those are the first words of the Mishnah. And then what did Rabbi Yehuda come along and say? He says, Ad Arba Shos. Okay? Now, it's true that the halacha follows the Chachamim, but the Chachamim themselves would be very happy if you did what? That you didn't waste time in the morning, but you should daven. First thing you do when you get up, you daven. You see, so that, you know, don't rely upon the fact that under certain circumstances you can daven shachris until noon, but rather make it your business to daven shachris within the time which is not later than Dalet Shoras. Why Dalet Shoras? Because, as Rabbi Yehuda pointed out, the morning sacrifice was never offered up later than Dalet Shoras. Matter of fact, we know from Mishnah and Yumar and Gemara's over there, I mean, that actually they didn't waste time, that as soon as they could see the dawn on the horizon, they began the daily ritual in the Beis HaMikdash. They had to cleanse the menorah, and after that, you know, they offered up the sacrifice and so on. They had many jobs, the kahanim, that they had to do in order to carry on the daily sacrifice. If you have a siddur, again, you know, this sort of gets skipped at Kadima, skipped in a lot of other places too, probably. But, you know, there is a selection taken of the Gemara Yuma that we also have in the morning. It's Abaye, how the Sada said in Ma'arachim Mishmon de Gemara, right? That Abaye, according to tradition, you know, pointed out what are the various steps in the... Yeah, okay. And he mentions, you know, what they are, okay? Okay, first of all, Ma'arachim Gedolah Kedemus Ma'arachim Shniyah Shel Ketores. Okay, they had to first put on, you know, firewood upon the altar in order to have the flame burning, right? And then they did it on the altar of the Ketores. Also, they got a flame started over there because the Ketores, you know, also had to be, had to be burned, so to speak, in order to give it fragrance. And then Ma'arachim Shniyah Shel Ketores Kedemus Mesidah Shnei Gizrei Yetzin. And then it says, you know, that setting the wood upon the altar for the Ketores, this goes prior to the arranging of two new cuts of, you know, fresh wood that they put upon the altar. Okay, the Siddush Gizrei Eitzim is Kodem Nedishim is Be'ech HaPnimi, and this step happens before they have to clean out the inner altar, and then the dishum is there for nimikon hatovas chomesh peros, and then the cleansing of the, you know, taking the fat out. This is really what dishum means: taking the fat out of the inner altar. This takes priority over lighting five of the candles in the menorah, and then the hatovas chomesh neros kodemus adam atomik, and then this takes priority before you sprinkle the dam hatomid, in other words, the blood of the morning sacrifice. Now, obviously, at one point or other, at this point, one of the kahanim was busy shechting the morning sacrifice, and the kohen has to receive the blood and make sure that it doesn't congeal, coagulate, or whatever you want to call it, and so on. You know, and they had to stir it right, and then pour it over the altar. Okay. The dam hatomit kodim hatoveshtei neros, and then that precedes lighting two more lights, because first they lit five of the lights in the menorah, and then they lit the other two, and so on. Well, this was all worked out. Okay, I would imagine that the five would include, let's say, the inner one, and then, you know, the two on each side, okay, and then the last two, one on each side over there, okay, and then this HaTomishtein Eros Kodemus Diketores. The next step after that was offering up of the incense, okay, Buketores Kodemus Leiborim, and then the next thing after that would be that they have to take the different parts, for example, of when you offer up an olo, you have to break it into various pieces, okay? And those are burnt separately on the altar. And then they borim lemincha. This precedes the mincha. This here, mincha doesn't mean what we call mincha, mincha service, but it means the offering up of a meal sacrifice, okay, as we'll be reading in the Torah of the Shabbos, okay? And then the mincha l'chavitin. L'chavitin is, this was a sacrifice. Again, it's like a mincha, but it says mincha al machabas korbanecha. In other words, if you offer up a sacrifice, they use, some of them, they use a shallow pan to boil, to cook the flour or to bake it, and then the machlas was a deep pan or vice versa, or something like that. So I'd have to check again, you know, which one was the deep one and which one was the shallow one. But the point is that there are different types of menachos, different types of mincha that were offered up. So that came before the chavitin, and the chavitin came before nesochin. Nesochin means that you have to pour wine on the altar.
Libation.
Yeah, libation, right. And then unesochin the musochin. After that libation, which of course was for what? All these things, the mincha, nesochin, this was for the morning sacrifice, okay? So then comes the musafin, okay? Umusafin the bozichin, and then after that comes the bozichin. Bozichin is that the Kohen Gadol has to take some frank incense from the Ketores. He removes a certain amount and he takes it with a spoon and he has to offer it upon the golden altar, okay? So this was a job for the Kohen Gadol. And then bozichin kodvin l'somin shel beit v'arbayim, and then this action has to take place before they sacrifice the mincha, right? The daily sacrifice that was in the afternoon, and that was the final sacrifice of the day. Okay, and according as we said to Rabbi Yehuda, when did this take place? It was done by 3.5 hours after noon, right? Or 9.5 hours, that's what I meant before. 9.5 hours
after
the morning, okay? So in other words, by 3:30 in the afternoon, theoretically this was done. Chachamim said, but still, in theory, it was possible to go up to Kor Erev, so that this is the reason why we have this difference of opinion between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda is stressing the fact, what? That the times of the sacrifices determine also the times of the prayers, since the prayers are there to substitute for the sacrifice. The Chachamim is saying that prayer is prayer, and while as bechinuch, they used the time, as a guide, but they didn't rely completely upon it, because prayer, you can pray to God all day long if you feel like doing it. Okay, let us continue. Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we're at the fifth line from the bottom now. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said as follows. He said, Kol hamispalel tefilah shel musafin liyachar sheva shos, whoever davens the musaf prayer after the seventh hour, Rabbi Yehuda, in accordance with what Rabbi Yehuda said, then all of our cause of Omer, then concerning him, the Pasuk says, Nuge min moed or safti min mechoyu. You can't always translate a Pasuk exactly literally, okay? Because they read into a Pasuk a drash, an interpretation. But Nuge min moed means literally those who are saddened from the festival. Asafti, I have gathered you, mimechayu, and you were the cause for it. Now, asafti means, in this particular case, in other words, like I have brought punishment upon those of you who were sad because you didn't observe the moed, okay? And you were the ones who were at fault. In other words, you should have observed it and, not be sad, but you should have rejoiced on the holidays. This is literally what it says, okay? Now, Rashi takes it, that's the last Rashi on the page over there, it says, the Moed, you see it? It says, Machbashe Aviru Moade Atfilos, the Chagim. It says, this refers to people who let the proper time for prayer and festivals has yunugim v'atufim v'cholim. This is the reason why they will be sad, they will be withdrawn, and they will be punished. Okay? So, they want to know my mashma, how do we know the hainuge lishnu t'avrahu? How do we know that this word nuge is a loshen, in other words, is an expression of tavra. Tavra means literally breaking, in other words, disaster. How do we know that it refers to disaster? So it's going to target Rav Yosef. It says the way Rav Yosef translated into Aramaic, you know, the pasuk. He said, Tavra osi, or he explained, Tavra osi al-sanehen neves Israel. He says that disaster comes to literally the enemies of the house of Israel, but this is an expression that we'll find again and again in the Talmud. It means really to the Jewish people. Disaster comes to the Jewish people, but why do we say Sanehem? Because these people who work against the Jewish people are sort of like Sonny, or others say it's a euphemism. In other words, he doesn't want to say disaster comes to the Jews. He says disaster comes, it should go to the enemies of the Jews. Okay? So oiske, I'm saying. Well, he explains. No, he explains. Al the echaru zamanei mo'adai b'Yerushalayim. He says because they were too late for the times of the mo'adim, either the festivals in Jerusalem, right? Mm-hmm. Or it means prayer. Now, how do we know that this refers to prayer? So take a look at the Tosfos again. Kedetana gave Rav Yosef. See that over there? All the echus the money mordai. He says, he says, if we were talking about Yon Tevim Ein Shayach Loma Loshen Ichor, he says, for this, the expression Ichor, you know, that they delayed, this does not really apply too well. Why? Sheharei Ein Lahem Tashlumim Elo. Because with sacrifices there is no such thing as tashlum. You can't make it up. Actually, I don't understand Pesach over here 100%, even though I'll explain to you why in one moment. But anyway, this is how Tosfos understands it. Ela al kochacho, but you must say that the tefillah b'shtoyikra, that the pasuk is talking about the fact that they missed the time for their prayer. So because people, you know, delayed and did not pray in the time as soon as they should have done, so this is why disaster eventually came to the people of Israel. This is how he explained it, okay? Alright, the reason why I said a moment ago that I don't understand the Pesach 100% is because holidays do have tashlumin. It depends in what sense he's using it. I must assume that what Pesach over here is talking about is what we learned before. Namely, on a yontif, you have prescribed sacrifice, right? In addition to the daily sacrifices, you also have the musafim of that particular day. You have the additional sacrifices that were, ordained in the Torah for those particular days. Now, you know, for Pesach, for example, you have the same sacrifices every day of Pesach. This is why every day of Pesach we say Yikrat and Mishar and so on and so forth, okay? But Sukkot, every day of Sukkot has a separate sacrifice altogether, which is different from the day before. First day you had 14, the next day you had 13, you know, Purim, bulls and so on and so forth and so on. So at any rate, the point is the sacrifice of the day belongs, you know, can only be performed for the day. What happens if you miss the sacrifice of the day? It's no good. You cannot make it up. There is no makeup for it. This is what we learned again at the beginning of this chapter. Kevan de Ovar Yomer, as soon as its day has passed, sacrifice is no longer valid. As soon as the day is gone. All right. So at any rate, the point that they're trying to stress over here, obviously, is the fact that don't delay. You have a chance to daven on time, okay? And he continues, some of our laws, well, it's now a different authority. First one is Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. and he was talking about Musafir. All right, so now Rabbi Elozer has the following. On Rabbi Elozer, Kalam Ispalil Filo Shul Shachris, Lacha Arba Shores to Rabbi Yehuda. Whoever daven Shachris after the fourth hour, as Rabbi Yehuda said, you should. All of our Kos of Omer, then concerning him, the Pasuk also says, Nuke even boy the Safdi Mech. Okay? So my mashman, how do we know the high Nuge Lishna Tsaruhu? How do we know that this word Nuge implies pain, suffering? Yechsiv, this is written, Dolfo Nafshi Mituga. My soul, this is a Pasuk in Tehillim, my soul drips literally from sadness. It doesn't mean drips, it means drips tears, okay? Drips tears because of sadness. Yeah. Yeah, in Hebrew, dalap means it's to drip, or a light rain or something like that, delap. Rav Nachum by Yitzhak Omar Mehocha. He derived the fact that the word nuge implies sadness from this pasuk which we find in Echa. Echa says, Bisuloseho nugos, our virgins are nugos, which of course we translate sad, Vihi Marlo, and she is bitter because her maidens are sad. Okay. Ravevia Cholash, Ravevia happened to be sick one day, and he did not come to hear the lecture of Rabbi Yosef. Okay? Perek over here is like the lecture. Okay? He didn't come to Rabbi Yosef's academy. And Rashi explains, take a look at the top of the page, says, lay all the firko de Rabbi Yosef, right? He didn't come to the Rabbi Yosef's lecture. Shahoya Rosh HaYeshiva Pumbedisa says that Rabbi Yosef was the head of the yeshiva in Pumbedisa. Vahoya Doresh B'Shabbos Kodim Tfilas HaMusafim. And he would hold his lecture every Shabbos before Musaf. V'la'achar HaDrasha, and then after the lecture was finished, Hoya Holchim Leveis HaKnesses, they didn't daven in the basement. So what did they do? They would all walk over to the shul. And then they would daven Musa. Okay? So, what about Rav Evia? He didn't feel good and he didn't come to that particular Shabbos, didn't come to the lecture. Okay. Lamochor? Yeah, that was the Rashi on the top of the page. The very top. Yeah. So, Lamochor, the following day, getting back to the text, Ki also. When Rav Evia showed up, so boy abayla nuche date, the Rav Yosef. So Abaye wanted literally to appease or to make happier the spirit of Rav Yosef. In other words, Rav Yosef noticed what? That Rav Evia had not come, right? And naturally, apparently, Rav Yosef must have figured what? That maybe he didn't come because no. Maybe he didn't come because he didn't feel like listening to what I had to say. You understand? So he wanted to appease him. He wanted to make him feel better. So Omalei, so he said to him, meaning to Rav Evia, not to Rav. Okay, you have to be able to read into the text. Who's talking to who?
No wonder we have so much politics. But it stops way back there.
Yeah, right. So anyway, Omalei, so he said it to him, my Tamale Yosem Alapirka, tell me, he said, why didn't you show up at the drasha? So Omalei, so he said it to him, the Havacholish Liboy. He says, my heart was chalishing, you know, I didn't feel good. The Loimatsina, and I was not able to come. So Omalei, so he said unto him, Am I loy tam to me, the Yosis? So he said unto him, tell me, why didn't you eat something and then come? So Omalei, so he said to him, what's the matter? He says, Loy sova lo mar lo hoda rav huna. He says, aren't you concerned with what Rav Huna had to say? Doma Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, Oso loy lo yodam shi yitam klum kenim shi spalat filis amusafim. He said it is prohibited for anyone to eat anything at all before he davens Musaf. So in other words, what is the implication? I didn't feel good. I was hungry. And I just couldn't feel that, you know, I could wait until everybody davened musaf before I could go and have something to eat. So, you know, I didn't come. And the other one says to him, look, said, you could have had something to eat. So I said, what's the matter? Didn't we learn that you're not supposed to eat anything before musaf? Or Malay. So he said unto him, so he said, you know what you could have done? You could have davened musaf by yourself as a yochid. But little me then, and then, you know, eat something. Well, amazing. And then after that, you would come to the base medrash and listen to the lecture, okay?
I don't really want to hear the answer. I thought you could daven shacharis and eat. Do I want to hear the answer to this?
Sure. You have patience?
Yeah.
So, Omalei, Belisava Lomar, Lahaidam Rabbi Yochanan. So he said to him, what's the matter? He says, aren't you in agreement with Rabbi Yochanan? And said, Otsu Loyle Yodam Sheyakdim Philoselis Philosatzibur? Rav Yochanan said that a person is not permitted to daven before the tzibur, you know, davens. In other words, how could I daven musaf before the congregation itself had daven musaf? So Amalei, so he said to him, Lav Itmar Alav, he says, didn't we learn in connection with this, Omer Rav Abba, the tzibur shonu? Rav Abba said that this din about not to daven before the congregation, this is only if you are present in the congregation that you shouldn't daven musaf by yourself. Okay, of course I'm not talking about some of our people who have to get to work early or something like that, you know. But right, I mean, if you have the time, don't run ahead of the congregation, okay? But the less hilchaso, the less hilchaso, but he says, but the halacha is not this way. Lo kerav huna. It doesn't follow Rav Huna, who said that you're prohibited from eating anything before you daven musaf. The local Rav Yeshua and Levi, nor does it follow Rav Yeshua and Levi. The same thing, you know, okay? So, Rav Huna, Hodra Amor, and what we've just said before, Rav Yeshua and Levi, where doesn't the halacha follow Rav Yeshua and Levi? Don't Rav Yeshua and Levi, Kevin Shigiaz Mount Fila Samincha. Rabbi Yoshua Levi said that when the time for mincha arrives, also le'yodam shi'itam klum, it is prohibited for anyone to taste anything kodim she'yispalat filas mincha before he davens mincha. Okay, so number one.
No, that's even worse.
That's your question.
Okay. That's even worse because that means that means you can't eat lunch and until you've gone.
Okay, so first we have to answer your question concerning what he said about
Muslims. You remember my story about the Sephardim?
Yeah.
How could this be? That what?
That
you cannot eat before you've got the Muslims.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Well,
be 12:30. Okay.
Yes. I mean,
will be
12:30. Go ahead.
Okay. Good. All right. So first of all, obviously they would disagree, although the Gemara says specifically that the halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon ben Levi in this respect. We'll take a look at Tosfos in a moment. Who is a very short Tosfos over here. Nor does it follow Rav Huna, who said that you're not allowed to eat anything prior to musaf. So, if that's the case, then it means that prior to musaf, you are permitted to have something to eat. This is why, in many places, the custom arose that after shacharis, they already make a kiddush in public, okay?
Especially because Simchas Torah, for instance.
Yes, no question about that. But even if it's not Simchas Torah, even on a Shabbos, technically, if you want to take a break and make you know, make a kiddush beforehand and then continue, you know, with Kriya Satora and the okay.
How do you arrive at that logic? At that answer? How do you arrive at that?
Says over here that halacha does not follow Rav Huna. Okay. What did Rav Huna said? Said that prior to davening, before you finish davening musaf, you're not allowed to eat anything.
Right.
Okay? Not allowed to taste anything.
Right.
Okay. So I'm saying, number one, that they say the Mesas Halacha doesn't follow him. So it means then that you don't have to wait until after Musa. before you eat something. Don't have to wait. Naturally, if you would daven 1, 2, 3, it wouldn't be a problem. But you know, when the davening drags and drags, so then it already becomes a problem. So therefore, we see that prior to Musaf, it is permissible to eat.
What's the earliest time we can daven Musaf?
You can daven Musaf as soon as you have finished davening Shabbos. As soon as you finish davening Shabbos, you're permitted to daven Musaf. Okay.
Yeah,
which is what we do.
Musaf all day long.
Exactly. If you're davening in the shul over here, for example, it's Rosh Chodesh, right?
Yeah.
We don't wait until 11, 12 o'clock to daven Musaf. Daven Musaf immediately after Shabbos and so on. And the din permits us to do that.
But then there was something you said.
The second thing about Mincha now.
Yeah, you said right. About Mincha.
Now, okay. Now, what about Mincha? The answer is that we have to distinguish between, again, are we talking about Mincha Gedola or Mincha Ketana? Okay. Let's take a look over there. Kevin she gathered the Tosfos. Kevin she gia. You see it over there?
Kevin, yeah.
No, Kevin she gia. Tosfos is on the right side over there.
Those are very small little boxes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Tosfos over there. Okay. Says Kevin she gia mantfilas aminchos l'tem klum. Right. In other words, he's quoting first the text. It says for Isle the Rabbi Yeshua mafsikin ba'pilu bin ra'chilo velohi. Says, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, he says you're permitted to, you have to stop eating. Okay, in other words, let's say you were eating, or if it says over here masikin v'apilu min achila, not just eating, but the idea of masikin, you have to stop whatever you're doing, whether it's work or whether it is let's say learning, whatever it may be, the minute that 12:30 comes, what should you do according to Rabbi Yeshua?
Stop.
Right. Interrupt whatever you're doing, you're daven mincha. Okay? And what are the last two words of Tosfos over there? It says, Velohi. But this is not what the din is. So what are we talking about? We're talking about, obviously, as far as mincha gedola is concerned, in other words, at 12:30, you're permitted to eat and so on. You have plenty of time during the day. Unless you know that you're going to be rushed, as we said before on the previous side, you know, where we quoted the Tosfos over there, okay? Unless you know that you're not going to have the time, then in that case, daven mincha first and then do whatever else you have to do, okay? But if you have plenty of time during the day and you know that you're going to do it, then in that particular case, you don't have to interrupt whatever it is that you're doing in order to daven mincha. So this is what we learned over here from Tosfos. Okay, we'll stop a new Mishnah, do a little bit more on the page, and then we'll call it night. Okay. The new Mishnah says, "Rav Nechunya ben Akono hoy mispalel bichnisa solo veis hamidrosh v'tziyoso tefilo kitzora." Rav Nechunya ben Akono would pray when he would enter the base medrash. And when he would leave the base medrash, and what would he pray? He would pray a very short prayer, tefillah ketzara. Amru lo, so they said unto him, ma mokom tefillah zu, literally, what is the place for this particular prayer? But of course, what do they mean by what is the place? What they really mean is, what is the nature? What is it that you're saying in this prayer? This is really what they mean, okay? So he said unto them, says, when I enter the base medrash, I pray to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that no literally stumbling block should be caused by me. In other words, I should not give wrong teachings, wrong halachas, so that I mislead people into doing that which they should not be doing. And when I leave, what do I say? Then what I do is to give thanks for my portion in life, the fact, you know, that I am privileged to be able to study Torah. Okay? Now, the Gemara now continues with a little bit more expansion upon what was this prayer. Okay? Tana Rabbanan. Our sages taught us, what is it that he said when he went into the basement? He said, may it be thy will, O Lord, our God, Lord my God, Shelo yorad davar tokal yodi, right? That no stumbling block should occur because of me. The lo ekoshel b'dvar halacha, nor should I stumble in any matter of halacha. The yismichu bi chaverai, and may my colleagues rejoice in what I have to say. The lo omar, and may I not say al tome tohor, concerning that which is unclean, that it is clean. The lo al tohor tome, nor should I say concerning that which is clean and say that it is unclean. The lo yekoshlu chaverai b'dvar halacha, nor should my colleagues stumble in any dvar halacha. The esbach bohem, and may I also rejoice in them, just as they should rejoice in me. So may I take pleasure in them. Very beautiful prayer.
Mm.
Yeah. And we see, of course, you know, the tremendous concern on the part of the teacher who teaches Torah that what he teaches should be correct and should not be misleading to people. And this whole teacher-colleague relationship of simcha, of joy, being able to get together and to discuss and to learn together and to share knowledge and opinions and so on. I think that's a wonderful prayer. And what does he say when he leaves the Beis Medrash? So he says, Modani lefanecha Hashem Elokai, I give thanks unto you, O Lord my God, Shesamto chelki miyoshei Beis HaMidrash, that you enabled me to have my share, my portion in life among those who sit in the Beis Medrash. Velo Samto chelki miyoshei Kronos, and you did not make my portion in life among those who sit idly on the corners. In other words, the guys who hang around the cowboys over there, you know, who people were talking only sicha betela, and they never, they never learned. Sha'ani mashkim v'hei mashkim, because I wake up early and they wake up early. Ani mashkim the divrei Torah. I wake up early so that I could occupy myself with divrei Torah. The hey mashkimim, they get up early for what? Lidvorim abbetelim, for simply idle things, you know, things of vanity. Ani yomel the hey mamedim. Yes, I work hard and they work hard. Ani yomel umikabel sachar. I work hard and I will receive reward for my Torah learning. Of course, I mean the reward is Meram Haba, right? The hey mamelim, they work hard in what? In their idle frivolities, whatever they're doing. The Yainam Kabam Sakar, but they will not receive a reward for it. On the rots, I run, in other words, I hasten to do what I have to do. The Haim Rotsin, and they run, and they hasten. On the rots, the Chayim Habo, I run to the life of the world to come. The Haim Rotsin with their Shabbos, but they are running in order to go into the pit of destruction. In other words, their portion will be Gehenim because they do not have slightest interest or occupy themselves with Torah in any way. Well that statement is regular. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akone, he happened to be a very fine Talmud Chacham and a great teacher and so on. Very, very sensitive person, as you can see from the prayer that he said at the beginning. But nevertheless, it's out of remembering the Mishnah that, you know, I give thanks for my portion. So here in the Gemara, they expand upon the fact that I am thankful that I have the opportunity to study Torah, which eventually will lead me to my reward in Eilam Haba. And those people who waste their time and have nothing to do with learning Torah, they will receive their reward in the opposite direction. So anyway, we should all be miyoshei beis hamedrash. We should all continue to get together and to learn. Ani esmach bochem, and I should continue to find joy in you. And you should continue to find joy in me, and may all of us dedicate ourselves to learning the words of Elohim Chayim. Right. Okay, so next. And then after that, it's off there, it's Israel for me.
And Pesach.
And Pesach, right. In my opinion, right, that this is the philosophy of the Greeks. And I started to say the fact, you know, that the Jews were living in an area where culturally Greek philosophy was, of course, it was a very important factor in the life of the Romans, the Greeks, and so on, with whom the Jews rubbed shoulders every single day, living in Eretz Israel under Roman domination, of course, prior to that, Greek domination. Okay? So that this in itself could be a threat, you know, to to being able to think the right thoughts and so on. And the fact is that there were those who undoubtedly downplayed the importance of Torah because of the fact that they were so much taken in by the philosophy of the world around them. Just as all we have to do is just to look around the world that surrounds us today, and we see that even many Orthodox Jews have a tendency to spend more of their time, shall we say, with worldly matters, and in a universe, an intellectual universe, which is more the American one than in, shall we say, in the Torah universe. Okay, so that I think that this is probably what Rabbi Eliezer was warning his students, that if they wanted to attain, they said, teach us what are the paths by which we can reach Olam Haba. So the first thing then that he said to them was, first of all, Hizaru b'chot habereichem, be careful to honor all your companions, your friends, your colleagues. In other words, instead of indulging in backbiting, in competition, in slander, in feelings of ill will towards other people, which we know exists, unfortunately, honor the other person. Learn how to honor. You know what it says, it's Gemara in Yoma, which says that the first Beis HaMikdash, we know why it was destroyed. Because it is written, the Farish, particularly in the book of Ezekiel, it says over there that they were guilty of the three cardinal sins, of murder, of adultery, and of bloodshed. I have mentioned bloodshed already. Murder, adultery, and okay, now then the question is, so why was the second temple destroyed, in as much as in the days of the second temple all of these three factors were no longer operative? So the answer given is that it was because of Sinat's Pinot. In other words, groundless hatred of one person towards another. This is what destroyed the Jewish people, and this is why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed the second time.
See, we studied that story of a fellow who was invited by mistake to a...
This is a Gemara that we have in Gemara Mizikin over there. Around Tisha B'Av, that's what I like to learn. Yes. Because that is permitted to learn on Tisha B'Av. Permitted to learn those pages, which deal with destruction of Beis HaMikdash, because we know it's not going to make us happy, it's to make us sad. Okay, well, that famous incident was the incident with Kamsa and Bar Kamsa.
Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, right.
So, so that's a similar statement over here. In fact, some of these will seem similar to us when we examine this as we go on. Okay? Yes.
When you say that Higayon refers to Greek philosophy,
that's my belief, because they stress logic. In other words, they laid supremacy upon you can do whatever you want as long as your mind tells you that it's okay.
And does this word Higayon appear elsewhere and is translated the same way, or does it have different meanings in different places, or
it does have different, but we find Hegel Nibi Lefonecha, for example, but there it means what my heart meditates, the meditation of my heart. And of course, it's related to the verb, as we find in the book of Yehoshua, the Hogisa Bo Yomu Valaila, you should meditate upon it day and night. In other words, think about it. It comes from the same word as heger, which means a sigh, a breath. You understand? So the idea is you should breathe over it, you see.
One of these commentaries on the right here is Haggah Hope.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's something else. That means aggressions.
Oh, that's not the same.
It is related. In other words, I'm looking over it, you know. So the Haggos would be the corrections made. As you peruse the text, you see that, you know, something requires elucidation or correction or something like that. So these are the Haggos. Correct. Very good. Exactly. This is, well, you see, in other words, the prayer that we say in Ahavei Salem, right? Right, when we lie down, when we rise up, which of course is an echo of the Shema Yisrael, which is about to follow. In other words, this is like a bracha in which we praise God for the love that He has shown us by enabling us to study Torah and to study His Word. Okay, and then it's an echo of the verse that we find in the first chapter in the book of Yehoshua, where it's written there, meditate upon it day and night, because then it says, then you will be able to know how to act correctly, how to act wisely, you know, seichel, taskil, instead. So that these ideas are all related to each other. Okay? So, higayon, as I say, in later Hebrew, took on the idea of philosophy, and this is why I say my personal view is that they were actually, what he was warning them against was not to become involved in Greek philosophy. Or, as I say, another possibility, that higayon they took in the sense of logic, and therefore, in other words, don't learn to depend solely upon your logic, because we know that logic is a tool that can be used to justify anything.
Reason is the devil's tool.
Yeah, right. Very good. Right.
I'm allowed to quote Luther.
Unfortunately, he had many disciples. I don't have to tell you. I mean, the Nazis also had logic on their side. Loyalenu. I mean, they could justify anything that they wanted to. The communists can justify anything that they want. I mean, we're all aware. I mean, we grew up with Stalinism and Marxism and things like that. And so, you know, how they twisted everything in order to justify their philosophy. So that this is higayon in general, okay? But what should you do as an antidote to higayon? From the moment that they're able to even when they're still young, let them grow up literally among the knees, or between the knees of the Talmidei Chacham, so that they should learn the correct sort of wisdom from them. Give them Talmidei Chacham as teachers, so that they can not only teach them, but what's even more important is to inspire them as well. Teacher has to be, to a certain extent, also a role model for a student. And this is what his prayer is. And then the next one, very famous statement, Ushatem is Palalim, and when you pray, know before whom you are standing.
Very famous.
Right. Because what they did is to put it into the singular, Dalif Neimi Atomim. Well, as you can see, it is based upon this particular statement. Know before whom you are standing, and as a result of this,